If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Double warnings! Warning number one, you're entering an hour of Chiefs draft talk. And warning number two, like, there are tornadoes everywhere, I guess. So, you can take those in either order of importance that you see them in. The good news is, if all you're down to is like a little battery-powered radio in your basement, if that is in fact where you are, don't worry about listening to a channel that's going to give you weather updates. Just stay right here. We've got you for an hour. We can't keep you safe from extreme weather, but we can keep you entertained in the midst of it. That is my promise to you tonight, as long as you're looking for Chiefs talk. If you're looking for, I don't know, like a nice movie or perhaps some baseball discussions, then I'm afraid we've let you down. But you don't want either of those things. If you want movie discussions, you can tweet me or something. Or you can give your own movie suggestions in the comments at the 810 Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/sportsradio810. We're live on Facebook just as we're live on air here. Jeff says hello. Hello, Jeff. I just clicked over to make sure the Facebook page was working. And it looks like I've been punched in both eyes. I have very dark-looking eyes right now because I'm allergic to everything. My hope is that the tornado kills every piece of pollen and no structures or people.
Looks like you went a little hard on the eyeshadow.
It does.
Yeah.
It looks like I've got a really good smoky eye right now. And you can see that for yourself on the Sports Radio 810 Facebook page. You can also see my Badger, Beaver, and Beaver Attorneys at Law t-shirt, which I promise four people will understand, and that's okay. It makes me very happy. Happier than my smoky eyes. Two things I've done a lot of this week. One, complained and tried to fix my allergies. Complained about and tried to fix my allergies. And two, try to figure out exactly what the Chiefs were doing in this 2018 NFL draft. And that's what we're here to talk about today. If you have questions or comments, you can leave them on the Facebook page. You can tweet me at JB Briscoe. Otherwise, we'll soldier on without any of your input. It's open, not necessary. We have much more than an hour of discussion we can have here. And I don't have a problem with letting my opinion be molded by new information and new interpretations and everything. I kind of enjoy that part of the whole sports radio gig in general. I'm not going to tell you that I had a pre-existing opinion on Breland Speaks before the draft and that it's exactly the same now than it was before the draft. I think that's not necessary for these discussions to be as honest as possible. And so I've been able to reevaluate this draft over and over this week. I had knee-jerk reactions, and then reactions after hearing Brett Veach talk about these picks, and then more information from various analysts that I've had a chance to talk to over the week. I've been able to think it out loud, talking about it throughout the course of this week. And there are some places here where my knee-jerk reaction is no longer where I'm actually at right now. But there are mostly places where the knee-jerk questions that I was sort of screaming at my TV are the questions that I'm still kind of asking at large. And this largely revolves around the Chiefs' first pick and the current state of the Chiefs' cornerback position. I think those are the real places. Those are the things that have maintained their concern for me from the moment of the drafting until this moment now. I've rethought like Derek Nnadi. We'll talk about him a little bit later. I wasn't stoked to see the Chiefs trade up for a two-down run-stuffing defensive lineman. And I still am not completely in love with that, but I understand very much why the Chiefs did it. I understand the logic behind it. It's fine. The day three picks that the Chiefs made, I think, were fantastic. I thought those at the moment, and I think that now. Overhyped, perhaps, because every single team in the league thinks that their sixth round pick is going to end up being a starter. And it almost never happens. But I'm optimistic for reasons that we'll explain throughout the rest of tonight's show. But the things that I can't get out of my head are the questions about Breland Speaks and the current state of the Chiefs' cornerbacks. And before I share my sage wisdom with you, before I bring you on the mountaintop with me, before I throw you all of this genius analysis that you couldn't possibly get anywhere else on the planet, so you may ascend to the ethereal plane that I exist on, I want to give you the appropriate disclaimers. Because Twitter was angry this weekend, and it's only slightly simmered down these last few days. We are all working within different constructs here. From radio hosts to draft analyzers to NFL GMs, all of us have to take the information that we have and then fill in the blanks in one way or another. And I'm cool with that. You have to be cool with that. That's everybody. And because of that, none of us know exactly how these guys translate into the league and how they fit into the league. Because every year, there's an undrafted free agent that becomes a starter and there's a top 10 draft pick that's out of the league 3 years later. That always happens. And then trying to project the value of everybody in between those two extremes is, like, impossible. So we take what we can, we do our best. And the things that I think we can do with relative certainty is to try to understand the value of the picks at the time and then the team's strategy behind it. And so that's what I want to do. And then we can look at what teams did and didn't do and then try to judge that and understand why they did or didn't do those things. I think that's the actual goal of talking about the draft, you know, before training camp. And lots of, like, if you catch the wrong person or the wrong TV show or whatever, someone's going to tell you about how Baker Mayfield was a great pick or a terrible pick, and that both of those things are dumb. The extremes are really difficult here, so don't bother with them. I'm not going to bother with them. Also, I'm not terribly interested in giving the Chiefs an absolute, uninhibited, unquestioned benefit of the doubt. Brett Veach seems like a really smart dude. I like listening to him talk. I like listening to him explain the logic behind things. Brett Veach is one of very few front office people in football that I am legitimately, like, grateful for. Like, losing John Dorsey, whatever that may be, was a gift from the audio standpoint. Because Brett Veach is willing to discuss his mindset on stuff, and I think that's fantastic. I don't know for a fact that he's a genius. And neither do you. So, like, don't worry about, and this is now mostly yelling at Twitter, don't worry about with incredible certainty telling me that Brett Veach has got it all under lockdown. We just don't really know. But what can we look at? Sorry for the long pause. I was literally sneezing. What can we look at, though? What can we actually evaluate? We can look at the Chiefs' positional needs going into the draft. We can look at the cost to get these guys. And then we can try to evaluate the player off their college tape as best as we can. I think those are the things that we can do here reasonably and smartly. And the place to start with that is obviously with Breland Speaks. The linebacker, defensive lineman, edge, pass rusher, defensive do-it-all man out of Ole Miss, the Chiefs' first pick. The Chiefs got him with pick 46. They traded up to get him. in something that we've had on my show, running ESPN Kansas City a bunch. A guy that Seth had, or that well, that's I'm getting through lots of different names that Cody had on earlier today on Sports Night. Kent Swanson talked about how Speaks was traded up for at a price beyond the draft pick value chart. He didn't have in his top 100. Matt Derrick had a tweet that was saying, like, in one of his mock drafts he went through, he had the Chiefs taking Speaks in the sixth round. That one hurt. It's silly, but it was like, oh no. Like, that's just, I'd like for the Chiefs not to be trading up for a guy with like a completely fluctuating value. But the cost to trade up for Speaks seemed to be pretty high. And Veach made a good case for why they felt it was necessary to trade up for him. He said, when you're looking at that board and there are big gaps, you go up and get that guy. When we were in the second round and Speaks is on the board, there was a big gap. So if they didn't go get Speaks, there wasn't going to be another pass rusher they thought was of even like similar caliber for a long time. Or, I mean, it wasn't similar caliber at all, similar value even for a long time. So that's why they did it. But the cost to trade up was pretty steep. But if that would have been the cost to trade up for Isaiah Oliver, the cornerback that we all fell in love with for the few days before the draft, before he ended up in Atlanta, and we'll never talk about him again unless he's a star. If it would have been a trade-up for Oliver, this would be something we wouldn't even discuss, because that's a guy that you sort of viewed as a bona fide player. The player evaluation, even Brett Veach said something here that I think is kind of worrisome. He said, we had Breland as a third-round value. They didn't think he would get to pick 54, and they wanted him, so they got him. Quote, when you here, everyone has him in round three. You know he's going in round two. Again, though, the quote in mind, when you're looking at that, when the quote in mind being that we had Breland as a third-round value. Is the building shaking a tiny bit? Yeah,
yes,
sorry.
Yes, it is.
I got thrown off mid-quote reading because I felt the building shake a little.
There's tornado warnings around here.
Yeah, and it got
moved.
You know,
warning is worse than a watch.
It is.
So
the tree outside is really getting a good wrestling. Our DirecTV is cut out.
Oh, that's, you know, that's bad when
it's,
that happens.
It's right. It won't be back for 6 weeks. It's a little bit rainy. There's some lightning. It's all very fun. This is the moment when I go, I did close my car's like sunroof, right? And I did, but I needed to think about it. Hey, we need to take an early break. So I can go try to save my car. No, we don't. We're good. We'll give you weather updates as necessary. They extended the tornado warning until 9:45, right?
I believe that's correct, yes.
On the plus side, whenever we are live on radio, I will get notifications that will not even let my screen turn off until I dismiss them. So as they become relevant, I will let you know. Oh, we also have a whole system for, like, emergency broadcasts, don't we? I've never gotten to be here whenever that's happened. That's kind of fun. Oh, if we lose power, the radio just stops.
No pending alerts from emergency alert system right now, so we're good.
I wonder when they would find
that. You have to be the emergency alert system.
That's cool. I'll do, like, the beeping sound and everything. I'll let you know as stuff is happening. We're in Overland Park, and it's raining and windy. Whatever. Until I see a funnel cloud above my head, I'm going to chalk this up to Kansas trying to give me problems. Anyway. The positional need on Breland Speaks, I think, is maybe the most interesting discussion to be had. It seems like the Chiefs kind of overpaid to move up for a player that they didn't have even valued at that spot. Both of those things kind of just feel like reaches to a point where I'm not sure you can really even, like, discuss it that much. The positional need is interesting. I was on with Cody during Sports Night a little earlier, and he was talking about how Veach is saying that Passanio is still a work in progress and that Speaks becomes the third guy. What are you cursing at, Charlie?
Just realized I left some windows open at my apartment.
No!
So that sucks.
No! Are you in your apartment by yourself? Do you have a roommate?
Nope. So just me.
All right.
So that'll be fun.
Those
blinds are down, if that will block anything.
That'll help a little. Yeah. Unless they get, like, blown through.
Great.
Oh, man. Can you turn my mic the whole way up? You hear that? That's the sound of every raindrop. I guess today's show is going to be partially weather. But the positional need thing I think is really interesting. I was talking to Cody earlier, and you know, he's bringing up the thing that Veach said about Passanio, and I know that next year there will be no D Ford, and the year after that's probably the last year of Justin Houston. You can never have too many pass rushers. Like, I get it. You can never have too many pass rushers. But to trade up for a guy that you had as a third round value, to basically give up your second round pick and then to slide out of the third round to go get a guy that you had as a third round value whenever Isaiah Oliver was still on the board, that's something that when you pull all of that together, it worries me about Breland Speaks. If he was a guy the Chiefs ended up getting later in the draft, I'm sure I'd be excited about adding another developmental pass rusher. And frankly, and man, some people are like, yeah, this makes sense, and some people hate it when I say this, but if this team still had Marcus Peters, I would feel completely differently about this. I'd still have my questions about why they traded up for Breland Speaks, but I wouldn't be so worried about the cornerback spot. And I am apparently just, I am honing in, I am planting my flag on the I am worried about David Amerson front. That's just kind of my concern. And so maybe I'll overreact about the cornerback position until I come up with a good reason not to react with great fear. I'm more afraid of David Amerson starting at cornerback than I am of being killed by this tornado that is surely just at the balcony at this point. Also, again, if you just stop getting a signal from 810, it's because we're dead and the power's gone.
Well, you can go to Facebook and watch it there.
Now we also need power for that. That's thought about that, but
I guess the radio goes out. Like if the emergency alert system takes over.
Oh, that's also true. Jet just walked in there pointing around and just making faces like, yeah, no, we could all die. Yeah, there's a chance that we all die here. Oh man. All of us dying here on our this could be our final transmission.
It'd be so fitting for you to die while you're on the radio though, right?
It really would.
Yeah. Talking about the Chiefs.
That's it. Yeah, I can think of worse ways to go. I can also think of better ways to go. Oh, man. I think my obituary would really be pretty easy, though. Like, he died doing what he loved. Talking into a microphone, believing that he was being heard by the masses. In reality, no one could hear him because everyone's power went out. But he believed that he was being heard. Which is what he loved. Being acknowledged. He died doing what he loved. Telling people to go follow him on Twitter at JB Briscoe. That's the full obituary. Anyway. Because of the need this team has at corner, even adding Kendall Fuller, even me thinking that Steven Nelson is a capable cornerback, I would have felt so much better about this team with another guy that could have very much challenged for that number two cornerback spot. That would have really given me some optimism. Also, overpaying to move up for a guy that you apparently, even you admitted in Brett Veach's case, kind of overvalued, that gives me a whole lot of questions about the Chiefs' first pick. But if it makes you feel any better, I think that's the most negative I'm going to sound. Unless I die on the radio. In which case, I may sound more negative at some point. But I think that's as negative as I'm going to sound about any of these Chiefs' picks. Because we're going to take a break here. And whenever we come back, I want to talk some about Derek Nnadi and Dorian O'Daniel, Amani Watts, Tremon Smith, and Khalil McKenzie. Because I think that, legitimately, as the draft went on, I might have liked each pick more than the one before it. For the value and everything in mind. So I'm excited to talk about all those. We'll get to what all that entails. Also, there's some audio from a scout talking about the new safety on this Chiefs team that I think is very interesting. And we just have, like, plenty of things to talk about. for as long as this keeps us on air. So if this is, in fact, our final transmission, Charlie Carlin is here keeping us on the air among the elements and producing all this. My name's Joshua Briscoe. We're here every Wednesday now because that's what we do. This is Chief Concerns.
Chief Concerns.
Pew, 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 pew. Welcome back to Chief Concerns here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. During the break, I went and opened the door, and it was still raining. I don't know what I expected. Ooh, emergency alert extreme on my phone right now. Take shelter now, check local media. Hey, we're local media, and we're here by a big window. Yeah, it says tornado warning in this area until 9:45 p.m. Take shelter now, check local media. I mean, we did, right? We checked ourselves. I'm excited to see if we get to use the emergency broadcast system. That's new. You can always comment on the show on Facebook, as so many supportive people have done, like Eddie, who says, "This is hard to watch and easy to close." That's going to be my new tagline. Put that on a t-shirt. I need to point it out that the Chiefs traded Daddy Nicholas today. And yeah, the Chiefs have a slightly smaller, like, pass rusher room now, which isn't surprising, but I don't think that changes anything. Nicholas was behind Speaks and Passanio on this depth chart. Garen asks, why are the draft experts evaluating the Chiefs draft like they didn't get an edge player when Veach and Reed have specifically said that they're playing Speech on the edge on rundowns? Yeah, I mean they did. I don't know who's saying the Chiefs didn't add a pass rusher. They did. Now Speaks has played all over the field, and we've talked to Seth Kizer recently. Talked to him today over on ESPN Kansas City, and he's talked about it. He thinks that Speaks makes more sense as an interior rusher, and the Chiefs are going to keep using all these guys all over the place anyway. That's kind of Bob Sutton's deal. So I expect to see them get played all over the place. But I don't think that you can expect Speaks to come in and automatically be one of this team's two best pass rushers. I think that would be slightly surprising. I would be surprised. Jeff says he agrees with me on the allergies. He's allergic to every grass and tree ever. I'm in the same boat. I'm just sort of sniffling constantly. Brian says nobody is talking about our cornerback we got from the number 11 trade, and that's not true. We've talked about that a ton. I've mentioned Fuller like twice this show already. The problem is that the Chiefs got rid of Marcus Peters and brought in Kendall Fuller, which is a slight downgrade with the most basic evaluation. And maybe in a best-case scenario is a wash, maybe. David Amerson to Darrell Revis, or I guess Darrell Revis to David Amerson, or Terrence Mitchell to David Amerson, pretty much a wash. Steven Nelson. Wash. The secondary at least hasn't improved. The defensive backs, the cornerbacks haven't improved. Eric Berry comes back. That's good news. They added a safety that I like in the draft on Ronnie Watts. That's a nice addition, but they did also cut Ron Parker. Probably about a wash. I wanted to see the secondary improve this year. Instead, it got a little bit worse, even acknowledging Kendall Fuller, which I'm happy to do. Alan says he guesses it's time to crawl under the desk. See, this is what I want you to do. He's right. Crawl under the desk, but keep this up. Just, you know, blare your computer speakers, blast that. Let's really just have it echoing throughout your home. And, you know, cower under your desk. Or go to the bathroom. Is that still a thing? Like, bathtub is a safe place to be? I remember being told that, but I don't really know why. I don't know if that was maybe specific to the, like, house I grew up in.
I mean, yes, but also, there's a window in your bathroom. It's probably not good.
Do you have a window in your bathroom? Also, hey, Charlie, answer that question with my microphone off. I have to blow my nose. I know this sounds like an absolute child unprofessionally doing radio, which, I mean, you know, whatever. And I can't breathe or keep talking.
I mean, I don't personally have a window in my bathroom at my apartment. I mean, the rest of my apartment is getting soaked because of the open window. But, yeah, so I... That's a good point. I wouldn't take shelter, or I would take shelter in the bathtub.
Maybe that was the logic, is that bathrooms don't usually have windows. Again, yeah. As the alert said, check with your local media. We are your local media. This is us doing our civic duty. Don't at me. Also, seriously, I would like to give some sort of sacrifice to the tornado gods if they would take all the pollen back with them whenever they leave.
And in all seriousness, if there is an emergency alert, we will send it out.
Yeah, we're not gonna. I think we might legally have to do that. So what Charlie just said is, we will abide by the law if asked to do so. And I second that. We indeed will. I just can't breathe, and also the building is shaking. It's not an ideal situation, but we're soldiering on. The rest of the players the Chiefs drafted, Derek Nnadi being their second pick, their second trade up in a row, also I think is interesting. Again, I've warmed up to this a little bit more with time. They gave up pick 86 and 122 to move up to 75, and Nnadi is a run stuffer. He's a two-down defensive lineman, and whenever I hear a two-down defensive lineman described as a run stuffer who doesn't really get to the quarterback, I usually think of a player who does the less difficult and less important part of being a defensive tackle in the modern NFL. So with that being said, I was a little underwhelmed by Nnadi, especially considering the Chiefs signed Xavier Williams this offseason from Arizona. Now, if those moves had been done in inverse order, Nnadi drafted in the third round to be a starter and then Williams to be a depth guy, or even just Nnadi to take over next year and Williams to handle the starting duties this year, both of those things make sense. This pick has logic behind it. It also would have been hard to criticize if it was after the Chiefs drafted a corner, for me at least. So I had to warm up to the defensive line being addressed throughout the pre-draft process. I had to warm up to it over the weekend. But I don't mind putting some more assets and some more effort into the front and middle of your defense. So along with Xavier Williams, you're trying to turn a weakness into a strength, or at least a weakness into something that you're not terrified of. So I understand why that's what the Chiefs went for here. The other thing, though, is a very common response I was getting on Twitter during the draft. I got a very, very good tweet from my Imagine a scouting expert after the Chiefs drafted Speaks, and then I'm sure he was firing things off again after they drafted Nnadi. He said, "Oh, so you're happy with our ability to stop the run last year? Good pick." Which, like, first of all, you just saw that Speaks was listed as a defensive lineman, I'm guessing, and then didn't really know exactly what he was going to be doing, but I digress. That notwithstanding, the counter-argument to that is, no. The Chiefs' run defense, especially against the Titans, but really throughout most of the season, was problematic. And the Chiefs knew that, so they signed Anthony Hitchens to a big deal this offseason. They signed Xavier Williams, and they're returning Eric Berry and Alan Bailey to this defense. So, was I happy with this run defense before the draft? I mean, kind of. I was kind of okay with it. Especially after drafting Nnadi, and then bringing in Dorian O'Daniel to hopefully be a more natural fit for the Daniel Sorensen position that Bob Sutton sort of forced Sorensen into. It's not the thing that Sorensen, I don't think, was like created to do. Dorian O'Daniel is going to be he's a specimen for that job as kind of a box safety. His measurables line up almost exactly with Cam Chancellor from Seattle. Those are good things. So that's kind of shifting into the next pick the Chiefs made at 100, Dorian O'Daniel, the sort of linebacker-safety hybrid. What the Chiefs did here is really interesting to me because he is a specific type of player. And this is where the NFL is going largely. So, like, especially from this point on, I like what the Chiefs were doing because they weren't necessarily drafting guys to be starters everywhere. They were drafting guys who did specific things really well. And I think that gives you a chance to sort of maximize what you're capable of doing without stumbling into a bunch of stars. Like, Eric Berry can do everything at this point. You could not put O'Daniel back there and ask him to do Eric Berry things. He would be a mess. But that's okay, because that's not what he's here for. That's not why the Chiefs drafted him at 100. They're going to be using him in this sort of box safety role, which is going to help their nickel defense, especially against the run. It's part of the reason this pick makes sense. It's also something the Chiefs got destroyed at last year. We talked about this a lot last year, where we would point out, hey, the Chiefs have tried to make Daniel Sorensen basically a linebacker, and he can't do that. That's not in his skill set. So the Chiefs get eaten up in the run game whenever they move to a five defensive back set. You bring in a guy like O'Daniel, he gives you some more of that flexibility back. And that makes a ton of sense. The Chiefs' next pick was safety Armani Watts, who I've been using the word interesting because we don't know if these guys are good or bad yet. But Watts also is an extremely interesting addition here because of the things that he does really well. The scouts after day three also talked about him some. Willie Davis was the scout from the Chiefs on Armani Watts. And there are some buzzwords in here that identify very closely to a certain defensive back that used to play for the Chiefs and no longer does play for the Chiefs. Listen here and see if you can make some of these connections, connect some of these dots. The scout was asked about Watts' instincts and his playmaking ability and how that came into play in the Chiefs' evaluation process, ultimately ending in them taking Armani Watts.
That's what drew our attention to him. He might not have the fastest 40, but the way as it's the his instincts put him in positions to where he don't have to be this 4-4, 4-5 guy. I mean, he's getting to the ball because he understands route concepts. He understands if I don't have a man in my area, I can go help someone else. This is a guy that he doesn't necessarily need to be the fastest guy on the field because of his instincts.
Did you catch that in the second half there? Talked about if there's not somebody in his area, he's gonna follow the ball and go see if he can make a play on it. That for me immediately evoked some things that Ron Parker was saying about Marcus Peters after the Dolphins game last year. It was the only game where I went out and was actually covering one of the games for 810. And Peters had a huge game, and some of us were talking to Ron Parker about him, and he just went on and on about how good Marcus Peters is at that thing. At following the ball instinctually, keeping track of the ball, and being willing to leave his guy or keep an eye on his guy or also really kind of like cover his guy until the quarterback is going elsewhere, and then he goes and makes a play on that guy. Peters ended up with a lot of amazing plays out of that ability, where it wasn't just the plays he was making on his responsibility on that play. It was making plays on the other places where something could be created. Now listen, Armani Watts didn't end up being a fourth round pick while also being a perfect safety. Amazingly, he's apparently not a very good tackler, which I think is hilarious because of the Marcus Peters comparisons. So I look forward to still hearing, I can remember, I tweeted a very specific thing. I think I said, I'm really excited about the fact that a bunch of 40-year-old guys who played guard in high school are going to tell me about how soft the Chiefs' defensive backs are. I do look forward to that. I also ended up playing guard in high school. Like, that's not shade. That's the demographic that ends up yelling at me a lot. I don't care. I never cared about Marcus Peters not loving tackling. And I don't care if Armani Watts is not good at tackling. Because if he can do these things, spot the ball in a difficult situation, have instincts towards the ball, leave his responsibility to go maximize on an opportunity elsewhere when the time is right, those are the things that matter to me so much more than if your center field type safety is tackling or not. So please don't worry about that apparent flaw in his game, because the thing that he is good at is the thing that the Chiefs are in the most desperate need of. Another interesting part of this conversation, I think, could be brought with, oh man, I don't know about a risk-taking safety. That, you know, you get burned on that, especially a guy that doesn't have much experience and everything. And this, I think, can alleviate some of your concerns there. This is, again, Willie Davis, the area scout who scouted Armani Watts. We've talked about his interest in risk-taking, and a risk-taking safety is something that I love to watch. We can also be, you can also be someone that gets you burnt. So Davis was asked about how Watts factored the scheme around him into the risks that he would take, and I thought the scout here gave some tremendous details.
Yeah, I think it was all scheme. They, if you watch it, when he gambles at times, there's a safety usually over top of him. And that scheme, they gave him freedom to jump things underneath. And I think it made it look a little worse than what it was. But, yeah, in that scheme, they gave him a lot of freedom to believe what he saw on film.
And that's where he shined. Given the space and the permission and the ability to attack the weaknesses that he saw on film, that's what caught the Chiefs' eye. So I think it is inherently reasonable to say, hey, that's where the Chiefs are going to try to hone in on him also. The Chiefs are going to try to figure out ways to let Watts do that at the next level, because that's where they saw his best playmaking ability. That's when they were enamored by him. That's when they decided this is a guy that we want to make sure that we have a very close eye on. That's my guess. I would be very surprised if they brought Watts in to be a very conservative, speedy guy. Apparently, also, he didn't test out that well on his pro day and everything. And that doesn't bother me, honestly, because he plays quickly and he has the playmaking instincts that this team needs so badly right now. I just think all of this makes a ton of sense. The rest of the draft also is interesting. Tre'Mond Smith is the only corner the Chiefs took. They took him at 196, small school guy. Will he be able to handle NFL talent? We'll find out, obviously. But the traits that he shows makes him someone that I am happy to see the Chiefs take a shot on. I'd rather see them find a guy who plays well at a lower level, that has the instincts and the fluidity in his game, and try to bring him up to speed for an NFL game, rather than to go find a guy at a big school that got burnt. Or to find a big, stiff guy from a big Power 5 school and try to make something out of him. I like this choice here. The same is also easily said about the Chiefs' last pick. And I think that's going to deserve a whole segment. Also, I desperately have to sneeze again. That's next.
Chief Concerns.
Pew, 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 pew.
Patrick Mahomes tweeted tornado sirens, scared face emoji. He's from Texas. I feel like he's probably okay. But listen, if Patrick Mahomes is scared, so am I. I'm more afraid of sneezing into a microphone, which is just sort of my MO at this point. Adrian, the Facebook comments, says the secondary will be adequate due to front seven improvement. Tiger, and that's at least partially fair, no question. I'm cool with that. I'm cool with bringing that up. It's reasonable and at least partially true. It will look better with better pressure. That's pretty much unquestionable. Adequate worries me because it depends on exactly what your expectation is there and what adequate means. And that's something also that gets raised or lowered. I want to say lawyered for some reason. Gets raised or lowered by your offensive production. One thing I think we've learned a little bit about the Chiefs and about Brett Veach, I think they want to win with offense and not lose with defense. I think that tends to kind of be the mindset at this point. Defense, keep our offense in the game. We're not going to ask you to win games for us. We're not going to ask you to win games 20-16. We're going to ask you to keep us in the game. And if other teams get in shootouts with us, fine, because that's something we're prepared for. I think that's kind of the range that the Chiefs are working in right now. Adrian also says, tackling from a safety is like three-point shooting from a center. It's great when it occurs, but if it's being consistently relied upon, you probably have bigger issues. That's true.
It's a good analogy, too.
It is a good analogy. It's also just like it got brought up with Peter so often that I'm just so easily annoyed by that. Anita says, you forget that Brady went 199. Listen, like, so guys come from deep in the draft all the time, but again, if you're relying on pick 199, you are in so much trouble. Like, I like Tre'Mon Smith at pick 196. I would have liked Isaiah Oliver at 46. Much, much better. It's about value and risks and the investment that you give and what you think you're going to get in return for that guy. So you can get players from late in the draft, but if you are really thinking that there's a good chance of that, like, I don't know exactly what pick DJ White went, but he was a late round pick at corner for the Chiefs. Also, the Chiefs really late in the draft got Laurent Duvernay Tardif and Zach Fulton, and those guys ended up being great values. But you tend to remember the great values and forget the guys that faded into nothingness because, well, obviously. So I don't really care about where Tom Brady went. There's a reason the Chiefs traded up to 10 for Mahomes last year. I don't really care about how late it was. Antonio Brown an undrafted free agent? He was either an undrafted free agent or a really late round pick, I think. This is a portion of the show we call Googling. There were 21 receivers taken before him in 2010, so he was drafted, but it had to be pretty late. Great. Well, thank you, ESPN article, for listing the guys in front of him and not saying who. Desmond Briscoe with an E went before Antonio Brown. We don't acknowledge Briscoes with an E. That's disrespectful. He went 195. So Antonio Brown went pick 195. Tre'Mon Smith this year went 196. Ooh. Probably not going to be a potentially Hall of Fame player. Probably not going to be Antonio Brown or Tom Brady. You can't be relying on those guys. Now, a place where I like him as a small school guy. I also like what the Chiefs did with pick 198 this year in Khalil McKenzie, the only guy we haven't talked about yet tonight. Khalil McKenzie is the son of Raiders general manager Reggie McKenzie, which is already awesome. But he played defensive tackle in college, and the Chiefs are playing him at guard. We're almost out of time here, but listen to what this scout says about the things that he saw from Khalil McKenzie in his pro day.
At his pro day, we worked him out as a guard, and we took a look, and he did some really nice things. I mean, they had three other offensive linemen working out, and he looked better than all three of them that were there. So it was pretty impressive and stood out. And, we brought it up. We kind of tinkered with it back and forth and back and forth, and sure enough Brett and Coach Reed and the staff, they decided that it was a good fit. Let's do it. Let's try it. Let's go for it.
He seems really open to it.
I talked to him.
Don't want to change position.
I talked to him a couple days ago, and that's the first thing I brought up. I said, what if we drafted you as an offensive guard? He said, I'd be willing to do anything. I just want to play football. I want to be a good player in the league. And he said, I'd definitely do it. So I passed that on, And here we are.
I think the thing that's so interesting there is that they were at the pro day, and there were other offensive linemen that didn't look as natural and as good at that position as McKenzie did. So we didn't end up giving you the full segment on the 189th pick, or 98th pick, like I promised you. I apologize. I hope you'll forgive me. I've been trying to shield my face from broken glass while also doing this radio show for you. There's no broken glass. Yet, there could have been, though. I made it through a full hour. I'm not going to call myself a warrior, but if you do, I will not correct you. Absolute. Also, like with the allergies, this show is basically my flu game at this point, right? Allergies, tornado warnings, and a perfectly decent show. What more could you possibly ask for? If you missed any of it, we'll podcast it on 810's website. Thank you, Charlie Carlin, for keeping us alive in this nightmare. I'm Joshua Briscoe. Talk to you next week on Chief Concerns. Bye, Mom!